I think it goes without saying that today is a special day for us all. It is the start of a new year, a new beginning. This is actually the first time I've gone to a new church in the middle of the year in January. Usually these changes happen in the summertime when things are quiet. But I kind of like starting in January because it's a much more symbolic time of a new beginning. For thousands of years, we've made a big deal out of New Year's as a time of rebirth. And many different cultures have developed very elaborate rituals in order to start the new year off right. The responsive psalm we read together was used as part of the Jewish New Year festival. At that solemn and joyous gathering, their king was reminded of his role to lead and defend the country. The king was also reminded very clearly of the importance of defending the cause of the poor and caring for the people when they're in need. It was a reminder of who he was and what he was called to do. So it's quite appropriate, I think, that our first Sunday together is at the beginning of a new year. This solemn and joyous day, we begin a new relationship. And definitely it's a time that starts with getting to know each other. And it's also a time to remind ourselves of who we are and why we're here. Now, usually with New Year's, we begin by looking back at what we've left behind. We pause to remember that which is worth bringing forward with us into the future. And we also pause to reflect on the difficult times in order to learn from our experiences. And as I look around at what TSA has done over the last year, I'm quite amazed. There's been a lot of good work that this congregation has done over the last year that should definitely not be lost, but brought forward. You've affirmed your openness to welcome in everyone who seeks the love of God in their lives. You celebrated the end of Reverend Wardell's significant ministry with you. And you learned a lot about yourselves as you began the search for his replacement. You discovered that you have a lot of talent and energy amongst you as you led this community of faith yourselves over the last 6 months. A lot of churches couldn't have done that, but you did it very well. As a result of these challenges, you have a stronger sense of who you are as a community of faith. You know what your own strengths and weaknesses are, and that opens the door for new growth to occur, and that's a real blessing. The great philosopher Aristotle once said, "To know yourself is the beginning of all wisdom." So you're in a really good place as you learn what about yourselves and what you have to bring forward. And that strong sense of identity that you have was one of the factors that encouraged me to apply to be your new minister. The new year is not just a looking back, though. It's also a time to dream, a dream of new life. And that's why we make New Year's resolutions. And that's something that we get to do together. As I begin my ministry with you, I'm faced with the immense challenge of discerning what are the right dreams for us to encourage. You see, I don't come to you with a preset agenda. I do not have a magic wand that will suddenly transform this congregation back to what was in the glory days. Because the truth is, there is no magic wand. Oh, that's beautiful. But what we do, we don't have the magic wand, no. But what we do have is enough, because we have each other. And we have the stories of Jesus. We have the witness of his life, his death, and his resurrection to guide us. We have the example of the faithful followers who've gone before us. We also have the benefit of the collective wisdom of the world around us that is outside and around us. By sharing these stories, by learning from these faithful examples, by praying together and working together and dreaming together, we can build a new life together. For our common goal is to experience a life that is filled with the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love, just as our wreath suggests. And we know that these gifts aren't just given to enrich us personally, but these gifts are meant to be a blessing that are to be freely shared with our family, our community, and our world, because we know they make a difference. This new life that we're being invited to create, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we do know it has a name. It's called the kingdom of God, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to live out together what God is trying to do in the world. We're trying to be faithful people who share the blessings of God every day by the way we live. And as we all know, that is a difficult task to do. Christians have been building the kingdom of God for over 2,000 years now, and we're still not done. But thankfully, we're not over budget, and we're not behind schedule. We're right where we need to be, and we have the tools we need, and we have each other, and that is it. It is the great work of our lives to work with what we have, to share God's love and wisdom with this ever-evolving and changing world that we live in. And that is why it's so important that we gather here for worship. We gather for worship so we may be strengthened for this great calling that we share. Now, it may seem counterintuitive. If we're supposed to be so busy doing these things, why stop and just worship God? Does God really need all of our praise? But it is by spending time in praise that we learn what we can do to share the love of God in our lives. Now, praise is not something that gets talked a lot about in our society today. Today, we consider praise to be the way we affirm or give approval to somebody else. We praise our leaders for taking action to solve our problems. We praise our sports heroes for their great accomplishments. But in Jesus' day, praise had a very different, deeper meaning. Praise wasn't merely a form of adulation. Praise was an expression of emulation, what you wanted to become. Now, at this time of year, we're all familiar with the phrase, you are what you eat. We know what that's like. But in Jesus' day, they would say, you are what you praise. Praise is how you learn to become that which you value. So if you are a person who praises violent dictators, that probably means you want to become a powerful figure yourself. If you're a person who praises compassion, that's how you become a kinder person. We praise what we want to emulate and become. Those three wise men, they went out on this journey wanting to show how clever they were. They wanted to be praised for how smart they were, that they could figure out that star meant a new king was born. But when they discovered what was really going on, and they made that trip, the extra steps to Bethlehem, they were the ones doing the worshiping and the honoring, not the other way around. And they were changed by that experience, so much so that they were open to God speaking to them through a dream, and they went home on a different road and refused to buy into what Herod wanted to do. Praise changes us. In Psalm 135, we're told we should praise the Lord, for God is good. Praise the Lord, for God is good. That's our motivation. We praise God's goodness so we can learn how to be good. Back in the 12th century, a German mystic named Meister Eckhart said that a good person is someone who praises good people. A good person is someone who praises good people. I'd never thought of it that way before. A good person is someone who looks for goodness in the world and tries to improve upon it. That's very different, isn't it? Many people like to go around thinking, well, I'll make the world a better place, so let me tell you everything that you're doing wrong. And by telling you all of your mistakes, you can correct them and the world will be a better place. But when people go around wagging the finger like that, that puts a brake on joy, doesn't it? It puts a brake on creativity because everyone's afraid, uh-oh, here comes the wagging finger telling us what to do. But when we see goodness in others and are encouraged to praise that goodness, that's when it grows. So I've learned that a big part of my job is to learn how to best motivate you to be a good person. So as part of getting to know each other, I have to ask you a question, and I want a show of hands. How many of you like being criticized for your faults? Okay. How many of you feel motivated when someone praises you and encourages you to do better? Okay. So if we all don't like being criticized, why do we keep doing it to each other? And worse still, why do we keep doing it to ourselves? Imagine how different the world would be if we saw our calling as to be the people who praise goodness. Instead of telling the world what they're doing wrong, instead of pointing out how they're falling short of the glory of God, what if we could be the ones who encourage this world so goodness might abound? It'd be a very different year, wouldn't it? Instead of just seeing the sin in the world, and there's lots of it, What if we started looking for the undiscovered goodness that is in people? The power of God's goodness changes what is possible in our lives. Now, in our world today, we don't put a lot of emphasis on being a good person. We've reduced good to simply doing good things. But there's a difference, isn't there? Now, when I was growing up in church and Sunday school, we were taught to be good, to really internalize what that good was supposed to be about. And we were taught in Sunday school to obey the Ten Commandments and not break the rules. But that also sort of meant that, well, we're in a Christian society, so all the rules are Christian, so if you don't break the law, you're good. But as we all know, just because you didn't get caught doesn't make you a good person, does it? I mean, keeping the Ten Commandments, yes, it is a beautiful way to live as a good person. But keeping them for the sake of appearances? No, that doesn't cut it, does it? And people who are involved in things like crime, politics, and business, they all know the value of a well-timed good deed, because it'll take away a lot of attention from all their long list of bad misdeeds. To be a good person is to love what is good. To be a person of faith is to see the good in everything that God has created. It is to see the good that is in every person, even when they can't see it in themselves. We, as people of faith, are invited to praise the good so it might grow in us. We're also invited to praise the good in others as a way to awaken the good in them. So perhaps this is a good way for us to begin a new year, praising the good, learning what is good and what we value each, so we can value it up, so it can grow. And over the coming months, we will learn from one another what we hold to be dear, what we hold to be good. We will share our stories and our dreams with each other. We will pray together. We will break bread here together. We will sing God's praises together, so this world could be transformed by the power of God's goodness. So yes, we will praise God. We will praise God so this world can be filled with love and compassion. We will praise God so this world can be filled with justice and mercy. We will raise our voices together so this world may be filled with generosity and kindness. We will sing our praises so this world might experience the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love, the gift from God. So come, let us begin our new year together as we join our hearts, our hands, and our voices as one to praise God, for God is good. Amen.